This is going to be interesting, transitioning from that to this. How's everybody? You're okay? Okay, good, good. Fine. It's good to see everybody. Thank you so much for being here this morning. I want to start off before, it's been a rough week, okay? The preparation for this morning has been tough. And I guess I would say emotionally. So you're just going to have to, there may be periods of time, 20 or so minutes, where I just sit here and cry. You just guys will just deal with it, okay? We'll get through it. I want to start off this morning by doing this, and I just felt like God laid it on my heart to do this. Who remembers the 19-year-old kid that was me that came to this church? Who remembers? Who was here for that? Raise your hand if you were here. You remember me, okay? Everybody keep your hands up. You remember the 19-year-old kid that was me that showed up here at Golden Corner Church. It's my first time coming as an adult here. I want to tell y'all something. Everybody raise your hands. Thank y'all. You might not be the reason I came, but you're the reason I stayed. One of the reasons. And I appreciate that. I had to get that out of the way. It was just something God put on my heart. I had to do. So, if you didn't know me then, it's probably a good thing. I'm excited this morning because I get to tell my story this morning. And it's good because finally I'm going to get to talk to you guys about something I know about. And as I know about me, if anything, I know about this guy. And but I guess the best way to tell my story is to go all the way back to the beginning. Look at him. Look at him. Oh, Lordy, look at that. Listen, my pictures are so important, aren't they? Like, in our family, I'll just go ahead and tell you, in my family, they are very important. If you know my wife, Brittany, she takes pictures, but not only does she take pictures, she loves pictures, okay? We have boxes and boxes and boxes of pictures over her entire life. I mean, they are so important. If you've been in our house, we have walls that are picture walls, and these are not like walls like I grew up with where we had a few pictures on the wall, Mom. You know, just a few pictures. These are like picture walls, you know what I mean, where every shape and size, people we love. I mean, people, like, you come to our house, there are people that are not even technically family on our walls, like tons of people. And these are just people we care about. And so pictures are so important to us. And I think the reason is, and Brittany and I have talked about this quite a bit, the reason that pictures are so important is because we, you know, they say so much. You know, to the people that the picture matters to, a picture says so much. You heard the saying, a picture is worth 1,000 words? Have you heard that? Yes, everybody? Heard that? Picture's worth 1,000 words. The reason that that statement is true is because to the person that looks at the picture, there's so much that the picture says. And I love that. And one of the things I've always loved about pictures is there's so much, like, if I show you that baby picture, again, Josh, if you don't mind, the baby picture, there's so much about this picture, like, when you look at it, that you can't see. So there's things that I see. There's things that my mom and dad see. That you just can't see. For instance, let me give you an example. With that baby picture, something that you can't see is that when I was born from the womb, brought forth into this world, the very first act of Tim McCall's life was to pee all over the doctor. I peed all over him. To the point, Mom says he was going, ah, ah, you know, like this. Peed all over him, and he shouts in the delivery room, his plumbing works, which is how they knew I was a boy. See, they didn't know. So there's, see that, you get in the picture? Get it, get in the picture? There's things about this picture you can't see. Go on to the next picture. You're just going to go through my life. Oh, look, I love that. Look, there's something you can't tell about this picture. Maybe you pick up on it slightly, but something you don't know. I was born with this double chin. It's genetic. There's things you didn't know. Look, something you didn't know about this, and I'm sorry that everything I'm talking about so far here at the beginning has to do with bodily stuff, but you didn't know that I was found in my crib, playing in my diaper that was soiled, had been putting it on the wall, had been putting it everywhere. I'm just saying. Okay? You didn't know that. You can't tell that from this picture, but when we look at this picture, that's what we see. Move on. Ah! Look at him growing up. Something that you may not know just by looking at this picture, but this is the one and only time I ever wore a sweater vest in my life. I'm telling you, Britt has bought me like two or three over the time we've been together. They have never been worn. I refuse because of this picture. Look at him, little dork. Moving on. Things that you may not notice about this picture is that this was done in duress. Okay? I did not voluntarily put this on. But you wouldn't know that just from looking at the picture. It looks like he's having a good time. But you wouldn't know that. Move on. I have no idea what that is. Ah, yes. I love it. Move on to the next one. Ah, yes. The mullet. See, there's some things that you wouldn't know about this picture. For instance, yes, okay, you can make fun of me that I had a mullet. But my dad had one for 20 years. And you wouldn't know that just by looking at this picture. And this hair was formed after him. So you got that? But he had like cool curls and stuff. I just had straight hair. I was rocking the plain old mullet. All right, move on. All right, look at this little kid. Things that you wouldn't know from looking at this picture. It looks like he's having a great time out on the beach. So let me tell you something that you just wouldn't know just from looking at this picture. See, it doesn't mean anything to you, but to me it means something. This was the first time I ever saw the ocean. Virginia Beach, right? First time I ever saw the ocean. I go trotting out to the waves. Excited. Fearless. I hit the ocean. It was cold. It was like the worst time ever at the beach. But I got there. First time I ever saw this water. I get there, and all of a sudden, this 12-foot wave comes and just... bam! Just hits me, puts me face down, sand in my eyes, sand everywhere. I go to screaming. I was terrified of the ocean after that for like the next 17 years. And you wouldn't know that just from looking at this picture, but this right here set forth what we will forever be called, Tim don't get in the stinking ocean, okay? It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It's dangerous. You get hurt, okay? But you wouldn't know that just from looking at this picture. Move on to the next one. Oh, yeah. I really liked baseball, and you might not know that from looking at this picture. I liked it so much that it was the only sport that I ever played. You wouldn't know that just from looking at this picture. It's the only thing I ever cared about doing. It's the only sport I ever cared about playing. I loved it so much. It was my game. It was the one that made sense to me. It was the one I liked to do. You can call it a lazy man sport all you want to, but I loved it, and it was all I wanted to do. So you could tell maybe from the smile that I was having a good time, but you probably wouldn't know that, man, that was baseball was my thing. I loved it. Move on. Oh, yeah. There's some things you wouldn't know just from looking at this picture, I guess. Raise your hand if all of a sudden you realized that I had a thing for Garth Brooks. Okay? I was a big Garth Brooks fan, but there was things you wouldn't know. Like, I used to do talent shows and stuff where I sang a lot of country songs and stuff. And you wouldn't know just from looking at these pictures how many of those little girls would scream and holler and I'd strut them Wranglers across the stage. You just wouldn't know that. You know what I mean? And sing something like... what was it? A could you, would you, ain't you gonna, if I asked you, would you wanna be my baby tonight? Sorry. All right, I'll stop. You wouldn't know that just from looking at it. Move on. Oh, yes. Look at us. Something you may not know just from looking at this picture. You may not be able to put it together, but that's Brock Williams on the left. How crazy is that? I just wanted to show that just because I thought we were a couple of goose. You know? Look at us. Brock there on the left. That's Corey in the back. So, all right, move on. I just thought that was funny. Ah, man. There's things you wouldn't know about this just from looking at this picture. So this is actually pretty cool. This is a picture of my parents took me, you wouldn't know this, to go and meet this horse. And I got on this horse and rode this horse around in this picture. And I fell in love. I'd always loved horses my whole life. And this was my first horse, and his name was C-Joe. And very soon after this, he was bought and given to me on my birthday, which I didn't understand. I thought he was coming to visit. He was coming to stay, and he was my first horse, and you wouldn't know just by looking at this picture that we were best buds, that we had a great time. Scott is Scott's old horse, I love this horse, man, but you wouldn't know just from looking at this picture that right after I got that horse, got C-Joe, I went down to the barn. I was going to tell everybody that it was got him on a Saturday on my birthday. On Monday, we're going, and I'm going to show and tell to show all this horse stuff I got, and I've got my first horse. I got a picture. I'm so excited, and we go down to the barn, and I'm going to give him a carrot before I leave. I'm like, hey, see Joe, love you, see Joe, bye, see Joe. You know, I'm so excited. I drop the carrot trying to feed it to him, and he goes down to get it, and I go down to get it. But when I went down to get it, it startled him, so he flung his head up, and he hit me square on the nose, and he busted my nose all to pieces and my black eyes. So I went to show and tell to tell him I got a first horse, and he had literally beat me up when I got there. You wouldn't know that just from looking at this picture. But when I see this picture, and I see old C. Joe, that's what I think about. Move on. Oh, yes. Notice the date down in the bottom corner, 2005. You wouldn't know a lot of things about this picture. Just like the other pictures, man, there's so much about this picture that you can't see, but there are things that I think about when I look at it. There are things that come to mind. 19-year-old Tim. I guess the best way to say it, I'm going to use a very country saying, but it's just the most true thing I know of. You ever heard a saying, your chickens come home to roost? Eventually your chickens come home to roost. That's what happened to me at 19. I had just reached a point in my life. This is fresh out of high school. This is starting your own life. I was living on my own. And all of a sudden, it was just like the world had beat me up enough. You know, I was busted up and broken. Now, see, you're thinking that, and you're looking at the picture, and you're going, man, look at that kid smiling. And I did. I laughed. I smiled. But there were some things, man, when I look at these pictures and when I look at this stage of my life, there are some things I think about that you guys just wouldn't see. They're not pictured. I want to tell you some of those. If we could bring them to light in this picture, we could bring these things to light. I think the first thing that you would see about this Tim, 19-year-old Tim, was a mountains of uncertainty. You see, behind that smile, behind the smirk, and behind the humor and all that stuff was really this kid who was pretty uncertain about what he was supposed to do. I just didn't have a clue what I was supposed to do with my life. I had no plan. I was pretty unorganized. And I just didn't have a clue what I was supposed to do with my life. I knew, you know, here I am walking out of high school into the real world, and I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what I was supposed to do. I knew some things I liked, but I didn't know what I was supposed to do. I didn't know who I was supposed to be. I was one of those kids that when I was asked, like if my parents or my grandparents asked me, they said, hey, you know, son, what are you going to do? I would say, I'm going to be a veterinarian. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be a veterinarian. That's what I want to do. That's the path I'm going. But I knew good and well I didn't work hard enough to be a veterinarian. I wasn't a fool. I knew I didn't make great enough grades. I didn't do great enough in high school to be a veterinarian. That just wasn't who I was. I knew I probably wasn't going to work hard enough to, and knew I probably couldn't afford a school to do it. When my friends would ask me, my friends would say, Tim, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? This is what I'd say. I'd say, well, I'm going to be a Marine. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to join the Army. I want to be an Army Ranger, or I want to be a Marine. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do one of those, because it was the tough guy thing to say. When Brittany would ask me, my girlfriend at the time, when she would ask me, I would say, I don't know, what are you going to do? I'm going to do whatever you do. Because that's what you do when your girlfriend's hot, you know? That's what I would tell her. I'd say, I'm going to do whatever you do. Wherever you're going, that's what I'm going to do. And I ended up going to Tri-County Tech. And was noted, that's where she was going. That's what she was going to do. So I went to Tri-County Tech. So there I was, Tri-County Tech. And I want to tell you this real quick story. I actually was there one time, and you know, they give you a counselor in school. And so I had this counselor, and she was going to, you know, she was setting my career path up, my classes and all this stuff. And I'll never forget sitting down with her in her office. And she was a little elderly lady with glasses, big curly hair. I'll never forget her. She's sitting there, and she goes, all right, Tim, Mr. McCall, what are you wanting to do? What classes are you planning on taking? I'll never forget saying this because I was embarrassed by saying it. But I looked at her, and I said, what is the easiest thing I can do? Like, that's what I said to her. And I remember feeling that, you know, I remember feeling kind of the sting of saying that, because all of my friends, all of them, I had a friend who was going to be a brain surgeon. I had a friend who was going into physical therapy. They'd all moved out. They were all, you know, going out to do their thing. They're in college, you know, living in dorms and stuff, and they all had these great, grand plans of the things they were going to do. And I'm over here like, I like farms and deer and I have no clue what I'm supposed to do. Some of the other things you can't see in this picture, one other thing you can't see in this picture is a kid, a 19-year-old, with a lot of low self-esteem. I guess it started pretty young, you know. It started pretty young for me, and I'll just say it. I had an upper jaw that entered the room before me. Y'all can laugh at that. That was meant to get a laugh. I just did. I had a huge overbite, and I had braces once when I was younger. And then but as a teenager, right there through my teenager years, when I smiled, it was everything, you know? And like kids today, they get these braces, and the braces are like so low profile, and it's all about hiding them, and you can barely notice they had them. I had braces, it was like, bam! You know what I mean? Like, whoa! That guy's got a lot of metal in his mouth, you know? I'll tell you the story, and this is kind of where it started for me, but I remember sitting in a dentist chair, and doctor, I'm not going to say. I don't want you to think less of him. Good guy. I'm sitting there, and he's working on me. And he goes, this is what he did. I kid you not. Looking at him, he goes, goodness, I have just never seen an upper jaw that much bigger than a lower jaw. This is not a guy who's like seen a few mouths. He's seen thousands of mouths. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's what he does for a living. And I am the freak. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm the freak. And it didn't just end there. And that was just something, man, I just dealt with it. I had struggled with it. So I learned how to do a bunch of different things. You know what I mean? When I smiled there through these years right here, I half smiled. I kind of half smiled. Or I'd smile and cover my mouth. Or, you know, that's just what I would do. Or I did what I could do, which was just not smile. If I could help it, I just put the scowl on. That apparently I have, because people keep telling me I have a scowl problem. But this thing, and I learned how to hide it. I was always scrawny. I was always little. Always. I was always such a little guy. I'll never forget, like, growing up, and my grandma had a place on the wall where she would mark, you know, where how tall you are. And I'll never forget, like, growing up, and I remember one day doing it, and I stepped back from the wall, and I could tell that the line was up here. Like, you could tell, obviously, Grandy was a liar. And I remember walking away that day going, I am so small and I'm never going to grow. And not only that, but I have turned my Grandy into a terrible person because now she's lying. I remember thinking that, but all of the men in my family were manly men. You know what I mean? Raise your hand of the man in your family. They're just manly men in your family. Well, that's the way mine was. That's the way mine was. My dad, tough guy. You ever been around my dad? He's a tough guy. You know, he's got swagger. He just got his thing. My uncle was in the Marine Corps, and you know, so he was crazy. And but you know, my grandpa worked on cars. You know what I mean? Like, that's what he did. He could do anything. He could build anything. You just give him a piece of metal, and he could just, like, whip you up an engine. I mean, it was just crazy what these guys could do. And all of them were that way. They could just see it, and they just wanted to do it. They wanted to learn how to do it. They were do-it-yourselfers and all that. And I am just little Timmy out sitting in the grass just picking flowers, just like, I like horses. Didn't plan on doing that, but it worked. It worked well. That's who I was. I'm not lying. My sister right there going, oh God, he telling it all. I was. That's just who I was. And so I remember, man. And so what happened to me right around the end of my teenage years is I blew up. You know, and you know how you do. I hit a growth spurt. I was in the weight room. I was playing baseball. All of a sudden, I got, you know, bigger. And so, man, you talk about putting a chip on my shoulder, because every time I'd ever been picked on, anytime I'd ever been told I was small, anybody that ever made a joke about my grin, anything else, now all of a sudden I'm puffed up. Now I'm something. Now I'm the man. And I'm telling you, all of that stuff, however I acted, however I spoke or I talked or whatever, I'm telling you, inside of that guy right there was a self-esteem that was in the toilet. At 19 years old, I was living in a trailer, which I'm not speaking bad of, but I'm literally, this trailer was like so small that I could give you a tour of it in like 3 steps. I'm not kidding. I would be like, good evening. This is the living room, kitchen, bedroom, toilet. Okay? Like, I'm not kidding. Like, that was where I lived. And I was living on my own. I eat Wiener Wieners all the time, Spam, and ramen noodles. And y'all wonder why I got high blood pressure. I had enough money to survive. All my buddies is going out there having a good time. They're doing all kinds of stuff. And I'm just, like, trying to make it. And not only that, but what I did for a living from the time I was 12, I swear to you, until almost today, is I scoop poop. I went into the dog kennels at the Wahala Veterinary Clinic, and I scoop poop in the morning. And then if they had an accident in the middle of the day, I scooped that poop too. And then in the afternoon, we went right back in, and I sprayed poop and cleaned poop again. Every day of my life, that was what I did. And right around 19, I had gotten another job for another guy. I changed where I was working, and guess what I was doing? Anybody want to guess? Yes. Poop. So when I looked at myself, I didn't value myself very highly. I didn't think I was extremely talented. I didn't think I was extremely smart. I didn't have a plan. I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't think very highly of myself. Another thing you can't tell just by looking at this picture. And you can't, I mean, maybe, you, I don't know. I looked through a bunch of pictures to find one. Another thing you can't see is anger. That dude right there. Dad, you want to quit looking at me. He was an angry dude. About 13 years old, 12 to 13, my parents got a divorce. And, you know, and this is the only thing I'll say. Everybody, my family, I love everybody in my family. I have great parents, and I have great siblings, and I have, or, you know, I mean, I got, everything's good, okay? So make sure that you understand that before I say it, because I would never want to say anything to degrade anybody in my family. Boy, it made me mad. I was mad at everything. I was mad at how it happened. I was mad at the mistakes that were made. I was mad at the fact that it caught me off guard, because I was one of these kids, man. I was that kid. I was so hunky-dory. Life was grand. I was always wanting to have fun and do things. So when that happened, it was one of those things, man. It just caught me off guard, and it crushed me. I remember sitting there one night and thinking to myself after I've been crying for however long, and I'm like, you know what? Not anymore. I'll never cry again about something like this. Nothing will ever catch me off guard like this ever again. I was mad at everybody around us. Mad at my parents, mad at family, mad at, I was mad at my sister. It was right about the time my sister went off to college, and I was mad at her because she got to go do that, and I had to stay there. I was mad at people all around us, you know, friends. I know they didn't want to, but you know how that junk is. No matter what, when it happens, you're going to pick sides, and it's just the way it is. And you try, you know, I felt like my family tried to do the best job they possibly could with it, but it's what you talk about. Hey, son, how are you? Are you okay? Are you making it? I was mad at everybody that ever tried to check on me. They wanted to ask if I was doing okay. I was mad at them. I didn't want to hear that junk. I didn't want to talk about it no more. I was mad at every family I saw around me that looked happy that they were together and their families looked smiley walking in the school or doing whatever. I was mad at them too. Fast forward 6 years later to that guy right there, and I'll tell you this right now. I was still mad about all that. But not just, I mean, you're talking about 6 years later. 6 years later, I'm still toting all that anger. Not only that, but any rejection, any mistreatment, even if I just sensed that that's what was happening, any unfair treatment, I'm telling you, the very first thing I went was mad. And I toted that ball of anger inside of me, and the only thing I did with it was look for an opportunity to spew it out. To cut somebody. Cut them down. Say something nasty. You wouldn't see that in that picture. Another thing you wouldn't see in that picture just from looking at this guy right here is fear. Now, most of my buddies would say that I was pretty well fearless at this time in my life. But that boy right there was terrified. He was scared to death. You know, it's such a pivotal time in your life, and I think more than anything, like right then, I was, you know, you think to yourself, you know, I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to do something. You know what I mean? I'm going to be known. And right about then is where I realized that probably wasn't happening. And I remember just being terrified of being nothing. Whatever that means. I was a kid. I didn't know anything. But I remember feeling like that. You're going to be nothing. There's nothing incredible about you. You're going to be just another guy from Wahala. That's what you're going to be. I remember being terrified of the next shoe to drop. I turned into an incredible pessimist. That guy right there, he was an incredible pessimist about life. I was always waiting. Does anyone know on the other shoe to drop where that came from? You know, waiting on the other shoe to drop. Anybody ever heard that? You heard it, but you don't know where it comes from? Me either. If you know that, give it. I'll give you bonus points. I have no idea. But I was terrified of the next. Anything good that was in my life. Anything good, I knew was going to eventually be destroyed or taken from me, or I was going to mess it up. And that was how I lived every single day. Anything positive, I was looking for the negative. You know what I mean? I just wanted to be mad about it. I was absolutely terrified, and I lived every day in fear like that. I lived every single day in fear. Another thing you wouldn't see just by looking at this picture is guilt. I was raised right, okay? What I mean by that is I had good people in my life, my grandparents, my parents, everybody around me, teachers and stuff. So I knew the difference in right and wrong. I did. You know what I mean? I knew what good people did. I knew what bad people did. You know what I'm saying? So I understood the difference in right and wrong. And so what this guy had gotten incredibly well at was putting up a front. Let me explain to you. So I go over to Grandy's house or my grandparents' house, and I go, hey, Granny, how are you? Oh, good. I love you. Da-da-da. Weren't you making hot wings tonight? Yeah, da-da-da. And I would do that. And then I would, you know, see my mom. Hey, Mom, how are you? Love you. I love you more. 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 That's what she does. And then, I mean, that's what I would do. You know what I mean? I'd go to work. Boss man come in. He'd say, hey, Tim, I need you to do this and this and this. And I would say, yes, sir, absolutely, sir. No problem, sir. I got it. Yes, sir, got it. Boom, boom. And I did that. You know what I mean? With Brittany, I'd say, hey, babe, how are you? Oh, she'd say, oh, good. I said, I love you. She said, I love you. And we'd have great time, you know, or whatever. And all of those people, man, I could put up a front with the best of them. But when I was by myself or when I was with people that didn't have the standards I was raised with, something you need to know about that guy, he did whatever he wanted to do. He tried whatever he wanted to try. He said whatever he wanted to say. He treated people however he wanted to treat them. He saw things and he did things that put a lot of guilt in my heart. And I remember nights, man, I remember nights laying down. I'd lay down in the bed, and y'all probably done, you probably remember this too, doing this. I'd lay down in the bed, man, I knew what I was doing. I knew what I was into. I knew what I was up. You know, I knew all that junk. I remember laying there in the bed at night, alone, you know. I'd lay there, and I'd get thinking about stuff. And I go, you know what, tomorrow I'm nixing this stuff. I'm not going to be that way. I'm not going to talk that way. I'm not going to act that way. I'm not going to blah, blah, blah. You fill in the blank. I say, you know what, I'm not going to do that anymore. Not. And then tomorrow would become tomorrow. And tomorrow and tomorrow. I just couldn't kick it. You wouldn't know all that by looking at that picture, would you? It's amazing what you can't see. That guy was in a rough spot. 2005, at 19 years old, I had hit rock bottom. I was about as messed up and angry and guilty and scared as I've ever been in my whole life. There's one more thing you can't see. You can't see what God was doing. Can you? You look at that picture. You can't see what he was doing. Can I tell you? He was aligning the stars for me. He was moving pieces of my life's puzzle into play. And he was about to make a move. And you can't see it by looking at that picture. But I'm telling you, when I look at the picture, that's what I see. I see all of that hurt. I see all of that pain. I see all of that junk that I still remember what it was like to carry it. But I'm telling you, when I look at this picture, I don't just see all of that stuff. When I look at this picture and what I see is that God was up to something good with me. He was about to change my life. He was about to make a difference in my life. And I didn't even know it. That kid right there, I was sitting at the beach, down at the beach in Panama City Beach, Florida right then. He had not a clue what was coming. But you wouldn't know that just by looking at that picture. You wouldn't know that by looking at this picture that in 1 month and 2 days from when this picture was taken, 1 month and 2 days, I'd be standing on a field under a tent at an event called Praise Week. Put on by a church called Golden Corner Church. You wouldn't know that there I was about to hear something for the very first time. And it was going to change my life. Now, I want you to understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying I never heard it before. I was about to really hear it for the very first time. And it was going to change my life. And all of that junk that I was just talking to you about was about to get gone. But you wouldn't know that just from looking at that picture. Put up that next image, please. You wouldn't know what I was about to experience and how drastically my life was going to change. You wouldn't know that. I believe there are two people here today, or two types of people, and I hope that doesn't lump everybody into, you know, category you don't like. I believe with all of my heart there is somebody here right now, man, and you're experiencing, you're feeling those things that I've talked to you about. That's what you're feeling. That's what you're experiencing right now. That's what you're going through. I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. I want you to come back next week. And I'm going to tell you what I heard. I know that's crazy, but it's going to take me some time. and I don't have it today. So I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. If you're feeling those feelings, I want to ask you as a personal favor to me to come back, and I want to share it with you. I believe there's some other people here. You've experienced it already. You felt it, hadn't you? Dylan, if you will, come up. Some of you here, you know exactly what happened to me because you've lived it yourself. You've experienced it yourself. I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. I'm going to ask you to come back next week to make sure you're here. I don't know what plans you might have or what, you know, if it's a trip, I guess take it, you know, if it's paid for or whatever. But I'm going to tell you, like, you need to be here because I think there is something that so many of us in this church have forgotten that we need to remember. So I want you to be here next week, okay? Shake your head yes if you're going to be here. Okay. All right, I'm going to pray for you. Father, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for bringing us together today. And I thank you for everything that we can't see. Everything you're doing that we can't see you doing. God, when I look back at that kid, it's hard for me to believe it. God, I know for many people here, when they look back at themselves, it's hard for them to believe it. But God, we need to remember some things. We need to remember a couple of simple things that are true. We say them over and over. We think about them all the time. You know, we say them all the time in church and everything else, but we just skip over them now. We don't focus on them like we used to focus on them. Those words don't have the changing power like they did because we forgot the context in which they stood. God, I just pray that you'll bring everyone back here next week, God, and that we will continue this discussion. And God, that you will speak through me. God, thank you for changing me. Thank you for changing me. Thank you for showing up when I didn't even know I needed you. Father, you're a great God. Help us to love you like the great God you are. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Now look at me. I want you to be back next week, okay? I'm going to be up here. I'm going to stay up here on stage. If you're here this morning, man, and you need to talk to somebody this morning, I'm going to be right here, and I'll talk to you. I'd love to talk to you. But thank y'all so much. And y'all have a great day. We'll see you next Sunday. Bye.